All right. So this is a breakout day again. So I will give everybody out there about that much time to get in here. Today is a breakout day again. Go to the same room that you were in before. If you weren't here last time, you're out of luck. Just kidding. You can go to the gym or to room. So if you're not familiar with the building and you want to go to a group and you weren't at one last time, the options are this. There's one in the library, which is just out the doors and to the left. It is probably full as far as what the room can hold. It's a small room. You can go to the gym, which instead of going all the way to the library, you take a right and you go into the gym. There's room in that room. If you don't want to go to the gym, you can get out of the room, out of this room, take a right. Go all the way to the end of the hall, take a right. You can go to either of the far two rooms on your right. It's rooms two or room three. Those are your four options. So there's that. Today, we are finally past the gifts that are really hard to figure out. We're now at normal gifts that we're going to see utilized within Bethel to a far greater extent. Let's start with leadership. Leadership, I don't want to say gets a bad rap, but it can get a bad rap. We've all been under leaders who are ungodly, who want what they want over what's best for other people. They want to make sure that they look good. And so we come to this idea of leadership, and we're either super excited, I've got the gift of leadership, or we're really not sure that we like that people have the gift of leadership. So what do we do? Well, let's figure out what leadership really is. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 is where we find this one. Romans 12, 8 says this, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation or encouragement, right? The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal. Leading isn't bad. If it were, the Bible wouldn't say that he gives gifts to those or to some of us, some of his people, for the purpose of leading. He would say something different. How are leaders supposed to lead? This is where leaders can get themselves in trouble. They are to lead with zeal. Zeal does not mean demanding your way, right? And that's where we run into issues. Zeal means with excitement and energy, excited about what? Where God is leading, where he's leading the group, where he's leading the individuals, but where God is leading. You're excited about it. That's zeal. All right. Leadership is focused on deepening relationship with Christ. That is the purpose of leadership. Leadership within the church utilizing the spiritual gift is not for the purpose of building buildings. It's not for the purpose of creating structure. It's for the purpose of deepening relationships with Christ. It focuses an organization on Christ as the goal. So when we're talking leadership in an organizational sense, what we're saying is the leaders of Bethel, their job, spiritual gift or natural gift or just role responsibility, is to focus the organization on Christ as a goal. On Christ as the purpose, the prize, the end, to make it so that being focused on him drives all of our decisions. That's a lot easier to say than it is to do, because, well, sometimes you can have conversations with people and you could tell them, we're going to do something totally different that feels just the same as what you've always done, but the purposes are different. The goals we're trying to result on are different, but what you're going to do is going to feel an awful lot the same. But they focus the organization there. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Anybody know what that says? I know. What was I thinking? She said, it says words. was very helpful. Philippians chapter 3. If you don't know this, not that you necessarily have to have it memorized, but if you don't know this passage, you should read it and think about it. It's a great purpose statement. Brother, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If there was a two-verse breakdown of what leadership is, that's it. It doesn't even say leadership in those verses, but that's what it's about. It's saying wherever you are, you're forgetting what's behind. Why? Because that's the past. It's not unimportant. It's not forgetting it in the sense of not remembering that, you know, your child was born on a certain day. But this is not focused on the past. Why? Because what's ahead of you is more important than what's behind you, whether successes or failures. You press on toward the goal in front of you. And a leader leads in what? In pressing on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what our leaders and those with the spiritual gift of leadership are to do. Now, not everybody who's in a leadership role at Bethel or anywhere else has the gift of leadership. Not everybody who has the gift of leadership is in a leading role. Not that we're trying to fix that. But as Jim said last week, our goal is to optimize the gift use of people. Which means if you have the gift of leadership, even if you don't want to be in a leading role, you can be part of helping lead the body forward, because there's formal leadership, that's the elders. There's informal leadership, that's the person you look up to. And you say, I want to be like that guy. And then they guide you toward that end, and that's leading you. But we focus on on Christ as the goal, not on the past, but on the future. All right, why do we go through Greek words? Because I want you to know that I know more than you do. Just kidding. That is not the reason. It's really not the reason. But this is proistimai, and it's really, this one's really cool. It's two words, and we know the first one, a prologue, comes before, and istimi means to stand. So what does it mean to lead? It means to stand before, literally to stand before what? Well, to stand before a group of people, right? If you're going to lead them, you're out in front and you're standing before them, going first, forging the way, all of that sort of stuff, except sort of. We sometimes have a really narrow understanding of what leadership is. And we say, a leader, that's the one who goes first. Why do we say that? Because when we were in first grade, we all got to be the leader of the line, which meant you went first one day out of however many days you had kids in your class. And we learned from that moment that leading means to go first, and it's the one who gets the stuff first. That's why when you get to high school and you get into varsity sports, those who are upperclassmen tell the lowerclassmen what to do, because leaders don't do that stuff. They don't carry those things. The other people do that. Why? Because leaders, they go first. They're the most important. And we've allowed this broken, sinful picture of what leadership is potentially to infiltrate the church and our understanding of leadership. Back again to what I said, with different results, it's still going to sometimes look a lot the same. To lead is to literally stand before. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. He says to Paul says to Titus, who he left in Crete, said, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you may put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And he goes on to explain what an elder is. I left you there to lead this group by establishing leadership within this group, to exert authority over the decisions that they make. That's that part that the world talks about and the world uses. That's a leader. This is the one with authority and power, and they tell you what to do. And that might be true at times. To lead also, this word means to assist, to come alongside another person. Not just to tell them what to do or to exert authority over them, but to come alongside them to accomplish something. What are you trying to accomplish? Whatever you're needing to accomplish. With the goal of Christ being followed more, a deepened relationship with Christ being the goal. It also means to protect and guide. And this is the part that we sort of know, but when we go to do, we forget. Leadership really means to protect. Why? In a scenario where the leaders are functioning in a godly way, why do they do what they do? Why do they make the decisions that they make? I've sat in elder rooms for the better part of 15 years. And elders are not perfect. They make plenty of mistakes. But when I hear what the guys in the room are trying to accomplish, they're almost never trying to accomplish their desires as a group. They make decisions because it helps protect the flock that God has put under their oversight, under their leadership, under their authority. Do you know who will stand before God responsible for tomorrow's actions of Bethel Baptist Church? The seven elders. All of you, myself included, will stand before God responsible for our own actions in that. But as far as Bethel itself goes, the elders are responsible to have protected her, guided her, assisted her to become like Jesus. And if they don't, or if they do, they will stand before God to give account for that. That's what leadership is. So then when leaders make decisions that you don't understand, even for me, when leaders make decisions that I don't understand, I need to step back and say, I know their goal is to protect. And if it's not to protect, their goal is really to guide, right? Not every decision is just to protect. Sometimes the purpose is to guide people. To what? To Christ. To help them as individuals move forward so that as a unit and a body, we can move forward to knowing Christ more. That's the purpose and goal of the leadership. If we ever have anything other than Christ as the purpose of that goal, the purpose of that moving forward, the purpose of that guiding, the purpose of that protecting, then we have failed. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how nice it looks. It doesn't matter how good it goes. We have failed because we only have one goal. We only have one purpose, and that is Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. We keep our eyes focused on him so we will not lose heart or grow weary. Okay, so we come to these people who have this gift of leadership. What does it actually look like? Like conceptually, it's all of the things that we've just said, but what does it look like? People are put in roles, and keep in mind, when we're talking spiritual gifts, we're talking people being able to do stuff that has a result that's greater than their gifting should allow or their personal gifting should allow. The Holy Spirit works through a person to create more result, in this case, leadership, than their leadership should result in. Okay, so keep that in mind. Now, when we come to leadership, these people are and have to be people-oriented. If they're not people-oriented, then they're not using the spiritual gift of leadership. They could be using the spiritual gift of administration, which is the next one we're going to talk about. And they're very closely tied, but one is tasks and one is people. The leader leads people. The administrator administrates tasks. So keep that in mind. Leadership is people-oriented. Why? Because this building ain't going to heaven. It can't grow a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's a building. But people who are in the building, that becomes the focal point of leadership. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. This word, to who are over you, is the word proestimai. It's the same thing. These people who are over you, they have authority of you, admonish them and esteem them highly. Why? Because their goal is your betterment in Jesus. These people have a tendency to be more visionary in purpose than wanting to deal with mundane daily stuff. That is so me. I mean, as you get to know me, you'll know that more and more. I love big picture things. I love exciting things. If you ask me to do the same thing for 17 days in a row, by about the fifth day, I am so ready to be done with this thing. That's what happens with this, if we're not careful. Now, we need those things to be done every day that need to be done every day, right? This isn't insulting those things. It's just saying, natural proclivity, I don't like them. All right, visionary. This gift has a tendency or functions best creating vision within an organization and or a people group. That's what the gift of leadership does. Now, again, not everybody who's in leadership at Bethel has this gift. So we're not saying everybody who's in leadership is good at this. But those with the spiritual gift of leadership, in their mind, in their spirit, how they function, they want to create this purpose. They want to create this vision, this preferred future to arrive at. All right. What does leadership help and what does leadership need? Leadership helps the gift of the apostle. Now, let's make sure we're clear on this again. We are using this one because of the test system that we took, and they used a gift that I'm really not clear about, but the way they defined it, I gave some latitude. This is not the role of the apostle. There's no authority here. This is simply describing as the apostles launched ministry into existence. So they're looking at people who then launch ministries into existence. Okay? Nobody has the role of apostle. Nobody has the authority of an apostle. Nobody's writing scriptures. It's not happening. But in the sense of helping create new ministry structures, leadership helps the apostle. Leadership helps administration. Why? Because administrating with no leadership is just doing tasks. It's not accomplishing something. It helps those with the gift of faith. Because sometimes people have a gift of faith and they're like, I know God will do it. What will he do? I don't know. Leadership helps. Leadership can help give purpose and direction to some of that. It helps the pastor and teacher. The pastor and teacher needs the gift of leadership around them. They don't need the gift of leadership. They need that gift around them to give direction to what they're doing. What do they need? The gift of leadership needs administration. Remember how I said that the visionary is more prone to not wanting to deal with the mundane? That's the reason, or that's what it needs this for. They need those with the gift of mercy, because sometimes the gift of leadership, they say, let's just keep going, and they forget about caring about some of the people that they need to care about. They need the gift of service. They need people to come along them who want to help accomplish it, not just administratively knowing what to do, but actually accomplishing it themselves, or the thing itself. And they need those. They need the gift of exhortation, that encouragement, not just to them, but that encouragement that goes out from the leadership to the people. Now keep this in mind. They have a tendency to not get tasks accomplished, which can look, I'll use me as an example. It can look lazy. Mostly it's because those with that gift get so caught up in other things, they don't get things done. That's why we need these other pieces around us. It's not that it's nice if these people are or pieces are around us. Those pieces are needed around this gift. Now we come to people who love things like this. The gift of administration. The gift of administration we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, in a list of giftings, and the gifts of administration is listed in this. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Gifts of administration. That's why, because of how it's listed, I almost didn't have this in it, but it was in the test that we took, so we added it back in. It's really a subset of leadership. It's a way of accomplishing that leadership, but we're going to look at it as its own gift. I don't think it's inappropriate to do that. They set details of an organization. The ones with the gift of leadership are closely, of administration are closely associated with the gift of leadership, but they are more task oriented. See how they're very close, but they're accomplishing it differently? Yeah, not really a checklist sort of guy. Some people are. Some people like to make checklists that start with get out of bed so they can check something off of it. I don't dislike those people. I just want them with me. I don't want to be them. All right. Kubernasis. And it means to govern. That's where it's, again, very close to leadership. It's a form of this, but it's really tied with governing an organization or a group, steering or piloting. They have detail attention. This gift sees details that no human being should naturally see. And I don't mean that as a joke. Their gift lets them see details on things that naturally they shouldn't even be able to just catch, but they see details like, oh, this step is going to get missed. Or if you miss this step, it's all going to fall apart. And they see those pieces. These are beautiful, wonderful people that we need around us. They love order and process. Go take a look at my desk. I don't know how to file paper. I'm 42 years old. I don't know how to file pieces of paper other than throwing them in the trash can after I take a picture of them and can put them on my computer. My computer can be ordered. Papers, I don't know what to do with them. Like I don't get the order and process of it. They work alongside a leader to implement vision. That is important. The leader is the person who wants to create a vision. The administrator wants to implement a vision. If you tell an administrator to create a vision, they're not going to know what to do. If you tell the person with that gift of leadership to do the administrating of implementing a vision, they'll say, "Oh man, I could tell you every fifth step you need to hit. Steps 2 through 4? No idea." They need each other. All right, let's move on. What if you put an administrator as a leader? No matter what you think, this is not intended. This is intended in my past. It's really hard to talk about things like this without sounding like you're talking about people who came before you. And I'm really not. I'm really talking about other people that I know and have seen this in them. Administrators as leaders become micromanagers. They only know how to lead through checklists and through doing of those details. They become more focused on process than purpose. And so, point being, when we go to put people in leadership roles, we cannot just put administrators there and expect them to function as leaders. You can't put no administrators there and expect to get anything done. When we choose elders, we need to be choosing elders, because we're talking leadership here. We need to choose elders who have the gift of leadership. We need to choose elders who have the gift of administration. We need to choose elders who have the gift of discernment, who have the gift of mercy. We need elders who have this broad range of gifts so that the whole of the giftings of God are present within the elders. But then that becomes true for the other areas that have leadership as well. You can't overweight any of them so far that all you have in a certain vein is one group of people. All right, helps and needs for administration. Administration helps leadership. We've already talked about that. Administration helps the evangelist. Why? Because you go out and you share the gospel with 500 people and 25 of them become believers. And your job is to go share the gospel with 500 more people. The administrator tracks those people and says, "Let's get you involved, invested. Let's help you become part of here so that you can grow." They help the gift of the apostle. Again, if you're going to launch ministry, you need to both have the vision and you need to have the details of accomplishing that vision. They help the gift of service because they can help order what's being served. The gift of administration needs leadership. It needs faith. Now, this is where it's not that they need to have the gift of faith. We ought to keep that clear. They need those with those gifts around them so that they can function to their best ability. Administrators are pragmatists through and through. They see the reality of something and they say, what can and what can't happen? They need somebody to say, dude, God can do more than you think he can. But they need to say to the people with the gift of faith, yes. And he's given us a brain to figure this out. And then they work together. They need the gift of mercy around them. Now, they must not put order or detail first. As much as it's true that the leader has a tendency to not accomplish what they're trying to accomplish or the things that they want to implement, those with the gift of administration, they can't put detail in order first. It's less important, no matter how important it is, than people. Your detail and your process, again, isn't going to heaven. People are. So we need to treat them with more value than the process that we want also. And as a person with either spiritual or natural gifting in leadership, I can say this. I want, need to have administrators around me. And just as much as I want and need them around me, I need them to trust me. And I need to trust them. I spent a while this morning thinking about it, and I can't think of any two other gifts that require the level of trust between the people who have them more so than these two gifts. If either one doesn't trust the other, all of the process that they're in breaks down. The leader needs to trust the administrator, saying, if you tell me X things can't happen unless these things happen, then I need to focus here and help get this done so that we can accomplish the goal that we're trying to get to. The administrator needs to trust the leader, saying, okay, you've pointed where we're going. Now let's look at the details of how to get there. The best illustration I have in my life of this, as far as ministry itself goes, is a guy named Joe Nissen. Joe is one of my best friends, has been for a long time, and he has the gift of administration through and through, and I drive him nuts because I don't. He's like, how do you not see that? You have to do these four steps. I'm like, dude, I just don't. But you see it, so now let's accomplish it. And once he realized that when he pointed out details that needed to happen and I was willing to shift to do those details, then all of a sudden he started to trust the direction that we were going because he knew that I trusted him. And when he knew that I trusted him, he trusted me. And when I knew he trusted me, I trusted him. These two need to go hand in hand. So if you've got the gift of administration, we're going to talk about that in our breakout groups. If you've got the gift of leadership, we're going to talk about that in our breakout groups. If you've got the gift of tongues, unless there's an interpreter, we're not talking in tongues. Sorry, I joke, sort of. We have the gift of prophecy that we're talking about as well. And that's prophecy in the sense of admonishing one another and speaking truth to one another. Those are the three gifts that we'll be talking about. Leadership, particularly. Leadership, administration, prophecy. If you don't have a growth group room, you could choose the gym, or you can go down this way and go to room 2 or room 3. We'll see you in your groups.